Let us pray. We come before you, Lord, as our God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus says, I've told you and you do not believe. I have shown you and you do not believe. Because you do not belong to me. Does Jesus really tell some people here that they are not his children? He certainly seems to here and in other places. In John, here's chapter 8. Jesus says, if God were your father, you would love me. But you belong to your father, the devil. Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. You are not God's children. We also hear God say this in the book of Hosea, for those who have read the book. One of my favorite prophets. In the book of Hosea, God tells Hosea to name one of his children, not loved, and another one of his children, not my people. And God goes to tell him it's because they represent the many Jews who are not his children, and he is not their God. Jesus says, those who are God's children hear his teachings and follow, but those who are not God's children refuse to hear and so do not follow. This has some pretty big implications for my life and yours, I think. I think we ought to hope that this is not the case. For this leaves many of us and many of our loved ones, our children, our parents, our siblings, our friends, most of the world, if you include other religions, it leaves them all categorized as, how did Jesus say it? Not my children. This does not really reconcile with the rest of the good news of Jesus in some fundamental way, especially to a God who is called out so many times that he desires that none should perish, and who sacrificed his only begotten son to save not only the Jews, but the Gentiles. What in the world is Jesus up to here? I guess there would be an upside, if we allowed it to be, concerning church evangelism. Evangelism meaning bringing people to a saving relationship with Jesus. This certainly would make evangelism very easy if we treated it like this. All we would do is teach Jesus' teachings. Those who hear his teachings and follow, well, they're God's children. And those who do not, well, they're children of the devil. We just knock the sand off of our sandals as we leave them behind. And a church can surely know who truly follows, who truly hears and follows, for they truly hear and follow, and so we will know they are God's children if they follow like us, follow like us. We will know they are Christians if they follow Jesus just like we do. Has a strange ring to it, doesn't it? Doesn't sound very tempting. Maybe it was my voice, but other than that, scary business, scary vision of evangelism and of church and that. This teaching is about evangelism. It's just not that sort of evangelism. It's evangelism in a different direction. How? How is this about evangelism? And I know that for many Episcopalians, evangelism, the E word, is a scary word. I can actually remember my first experience with evangelism. Maybe some of you have had a similar experience. I was in my late 20s when I first started to ask different questions and see if God would provide some answers. I started going to church and making some different decisions. My friends, they took notice, but they didn't say anything. We weren't the church-going type, you know. So they didn't say anything for a long time until one night. I remember it was at my house. One night after a few cocktails, one of my friends asked me a challenging question about God. And it was like the floodgates opened. All of them were loaded and ready with a question. How could you believe in God who does this and doesn't do that? And now, remind you, there was no real wisdom amongst us there. There was no great wisdom. But I did my part. I, with a little liquid courage, I stood my ground and tried to defend God. I did a terrible job. Even I believed their arguments more than I believe my own. I don't know if you've been there before. But this, once this happened once, it started happening repeatedly. And so I finally went to my priest and I said, it was retired Bishop Bob Jones. And I said, Bob, I told him what happened. He said, and he laughed at me, which he was good at doing in a non-insulting way. But he said, Rob, you have to quit arguing with him. He said, you need to remember this. A mind changed against its will is of the same mind still. A mind changed against its will is of the same mind still. I've hung on to that little nugget. It complicates evangelism, doesn't it? It does. And so I took this after meeting with Bob. I took it with me and I carried it with me. And I soon began to see it doesn't only complicate things for me, but it complicated things for Jesus himself. And I began to see that Jesus struggled with this same thing in the scriptures. A mind changed against his will is of the same mind still. And today's reading is a great example of this. Jesus was up against these men who just refused to have their minds changed. He said he had shown them, he had told them, and they didn't believe. He had shown them there was nothing he can do. A mind changed against its will is of the same mind still. There was no way he was going to convince them. Not because they were Satan worshipers, not because they were particularly evil, but because they simply clung so tightly onto their own perspectives and false sources of security that they could not hear Jesus. They could not hear his truth for their lives. Did they need saving? Yes, they needed saving. Did Jesus want to save them? Yes, Jesus wanted to save them. But they could not listen. For to listen to Jesus is to be changed. But let's be honest, who can blame them? Who can blame these men? After all, who would they become if they left the lives they were currently leading and started letting this Jesus character tell them what to do, following this him? Who would they be? Who would they become? Would people mock them like they had recently probably been mocking the other followers of Jesus? Who would respect them? What would their families and friends say? I remember these questions so clearly. Terrifying questions. To open oneself up to being changed in unexpected, unprecedented ways is a terrifying thing, and it takes great courage. And being a fool for Jesus only looks good to me on paper. Listening like this is a terrifying, terrifying thing. That is why these men could not do it. I have a memory, my first memory of people being changed by Christ is from high school, and it's one that scared the dickens out of me. It was a friend of mine. Now, I got in a lot of trouble in high school, and had a lot of fun, got in a lot of trouble. I had particular groups of friends that liked to get in trouble with me. This one character, after we got in a bit of trouble, he got sent off to live with his aunt for the summer. And when he came back in the fall, well, my friend really didn't come back in the fall. Turns out his aunt was a Christian. And when he came back, he didn't want anything to do with me and my shenanigans. And he was different. He was changed. I found out that he was now a Christian and that he had been saved. I didn't know what that meant, but it brought me to my first sincere prayer. Oh, Lord, please don't let those people do that to me. I felt they had brainwashed him. He was somebody else. Of course, what I couldn't see back then, what I couldn't see honestly until it began to happen to me, was that God had not changed him into someone whom he was not. He had not taken anything away from my friend, but he had returned something that my friend had lost, namely his identity as God's beloved child. He had set him free. What Jesus longs for, what he longs for today is for us to see the essential life-giving role that listening to him plays. Yes, it's terrifying at first, and not only at first. It's terrifying often. But my friends, Jesus Christ truly, he really does. God really comes to us through Christ. He really comes to us in our lives and helps us to lead us out of the prisons we keep putting ourselves in. He really comes to set us free through the desert into freedom, out of addiction into wholeness, out of our perfectionism into self-compassion, out of our isolation into connection, out of sadness and fear into hope. But the key, the means by which we take hold and receive this blessing today is having the courage to listen to Him, to allow Him to be the God of our lives. This teaching is about evangelism. But it's not about us bringing those who we think are not God's children into a saving relationship with Jesus. No, this is Jesus asking us, asking you and me, to evangelize ourselves by listening to Him. A Jewish boy went to his rabbi one day with a wonderful question, I think. He said, "Rabbi, why doesn't God speak to His children anymore? He spoke beautifully to Abraham, powerfully to Moses, clearly to Jeremiah and the prophets. Why doesn't He speak to us anymore?" And the rabbi responded after a deep sigh, "My son, it is not that God no longer speaks to His people. It is that no one these days can stoop down low enough to listen. No one can stoop down low enough to listen to the voice of God." Just as much as it was for the men in our gospel story today, listening to God involves our approaching Jesus' teachings completely vulnerable, without the security of our boundaries and the lines in the sand which we use to define ourselves. Sister Maria Tasto puts it this way: listening to God means letting go of our idealized self, our distorted ego, and allowing God's Spirit to slowly reshape and purify our perceptions, our perspectives, and our attitudes according to the mind and heart of Jesus. This sounds quite pious to my ears and perhaps to many of yours, but St. Martin's, how can the master potter repair the pot? How can he repair the cracks, provide the healing, the blessing? How can he help the broken pot recover from all of its falls if the pot refuses to be placed into his hands as one to be changed? For just a minute, I want to be very practical to you, because this is a message which is very practical and personal to me. This is how I got here and why I am here. There could be nothing more important to me than learning to listen to God in your lives on a daily basis. And I recognize we are a highly productive people. I am, you are. We're a highly productive people. And when we do something, we want a return on our investment, do we not? If we invest in doing something, we want to see some results, some ROI, some return on investment. I don't often get to talk about return on investment. I miss it. I used to do that as an engineer. But today I get to do it again, because with complete confidence, I offer you something. I offer you a way to listen to God that simply works. You will get something from it. It's guaranteed by Jesus Christ Himself. And what makes it even better is to not require a lot of your time, but merely requires a few minutes and a mind seeking to listen as one to be taught, changed. This is not the only way to listen to Jesus, but it's a way that works. It's what brought me from an agnostic to a priest. and I depend upon it every day. And it has been around for hundreds of years. It has led countless of wonderful people to find transformed, honest, genuine lives full of blessings beyond our imaginations. And this is what it is. All you need is a Bible, of course. If you do not have a Bible, a good one, I would love to buy you one. My email's in the back of the bulletin. Let me know. But you need a Bible, and every morning as your day begins, you open it to one of the New Testament books and just read a sentence or two or a paragraph until you hear it say one thing, make one point, one single thing, and you stop. And you close the Bible, and you ask the question, what did God say then? And more importantly, what could God be saying to me in my life? And then you take that with you for the day. And you perhaps want to reread it again in the middle of the day, but you listen to it and you pray about it. And the next day you start off where you left off. It's that simple. Obviously, you may never make it through a book of the Bible. But what you'll soon find is it does not matter how much of the Bible you get through. What truly matters is how much of the Bible gets through you. This is actually a type of ancient lectio divina. It works. It will lead you over time to be able to hear and to follow the voice of Jesus Christ. It'll lead you to the riches you never knew were possible but always longed for. So does Jesus really say that some people are not his people? Yes, he does. Just as God did in Hosea. And if you continue to read in Hosea, you hear God say this. But one day I will save them. Not by army will I save them. Not by sword or bow. No, I myself will save them, God says. And then not my people will know that they are my people, and I will be their God. This is what Jesus is saying to us today. Today is that day of salvation. Evangelize yourself by listening to him. So whether it be in the way that I shared with you, one of the ways I've shared with you that I listen to God, or some other way, the question is will I dare to stoop ourselves low enough to hear the voice of God and to receive what he has to offer us? Amen.